Come now to that part of the service which we call the fencing of the Lord's table, where some guidance is given as to who should sit at the Lord's table and who at present should not. The sacrament, quite clearly, is not for everyone. But who then is it for? Well, it is for a certain type of people. And it may help us as we consider these things to turn to the book of Joshua and chapter 24. And here we will get at least a glimpse of what the Lord's people are like. We'll read a few verses from the beginning of the chapter. And here's Joshua in his old age, addressing Israel, having led them over these years, and now they've reached an important point in their history. He's about to be taken from them. And he rehearses their history. We read at verse 1, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac, and I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out," and so on. What then are the Lord's people like? Well, we're reminded here, first of all, that they are a called people. They are a called people. As Joshua rehearses their history, he goes all the way back to the call of God to Abraham. And it was that call of God, that hand of God on his life, that led him to leave out of the Chaldees. That great political and religious center in which there was much idolatry and much darkness. The Lord called him out. It wasn't done by chance. There's no such thing anyway. It was the sovereign will of God. Neither was it done by Abraham's initiative. It was a sovereign calling. We're left in no doubt about that. It's God in verse 3 who takes Abraham. It's God who leads him, and so on. They are a called people. Everyone hears the general call of the gospel. You know these things. Everyone hears the general call of the gospel. But there are some here who have been effectually called, who have been called out of darkness into his own marvelous light, and on whom that call of God is evident, taking them from where they were, not because they wanted to, and I mustn't get ahead of myself here, but because of the sovereign will of God. What are they like? They are a called people. Has he called you? Oh, yes, you say he has. I felt, I saw that call, the call of God in all its irresistible power. They are a called people. But they are also, we are told here, a separated people. In the chapter we have this emphasis. Abraham is called out, but he's also separated. He's separated by the Lord, and he's separated for the Lord. They were a holy people. Verse 3, they were taken from the other side of the flood, from all its ways and all its practices. They were separated. as the Lord separated you from the world you were so involved in. Well, if you're still outside the people of God, if you have been separated by himself for himself, the sacrament is not for you. If you're still on the other side of the flood, if you like, to use the language of the chapter, the sacrament is not for you. If you are still serving other gods, as in verse 2, then the sacrament is not for you. The sacrament is for those who have been separated. And isn't that, my friend, what the Lord did for you? He separated you. There you were trying to integrate yourself into the world. The last thing you wanted was to be separated. The Lord separated. They are a called people. They are a separated people. But we see also here that they are a redeemed people. Now Joshua doesn't go into detail in verse 5, but he speaks of bringing them out. And we know that at the heart of that, there was the Passover lamb. I brought you out. And on that night when you were brought out, you were shown that this wasn't merely some military adventure. This was something spiritual. You were redeemed. And not only has the Lord called you, Christian friend, not only has he separated you, but he has redeemed you. And you are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from that vain tradition, but with the precious blood of Christ. Are you redeemed? Can you say that you are a redeemed soul? Well, if not, the sacrament is not for you. It is for the redeemed of the Lord. It's they who come to Zion with songs and everlasting praise. It is for a redeemed people. Fourthly, and finally, it's for a distinct people. This is the recurring message of this chapter. Joshua is emphasizing for him that not only were they separated once, but they are to remain separate. They are to be a distinct people. He's warning them against integrating with the Canaanites, the very warning they forgot, of course, to their cost. You turn over the page here in the book of Judges, and that distinction is watered down. They are a distinct people. Abraham wasn't to live like the people of our other people of Canaan. The Christian life, the Christian lifestyle, the Christian outlook is to be different. And the sacrament is fought for those who may claim called and separated and redeemed, but whose lives bear no distinction with the world, or who have fallen back in a public and open way. No, it is for those who by grace maintain that distinction. Oh, you say you're frightening me. My distinction is very poor. Oh, I know. But there's a world of difference between a desire for that distinction and a desire not to have it. There's a world of difference between the two. If we're looking for perfection, there'll be nobody at the table. But there is to be a distinction, and we need to maintain that. The believer is to walk as the believer should walk, as the redeemed of the Lord. How does it put it later on in verse 23? Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which is among you, and incline your heart unto the God of Israel. What are they like? A called, separated, redeemed, distinct people. That was Joshua's message. That was the mark of the church then, and it still is. And for them, provision is made as was made for them in these days. Provision is made for us in these days through the sacraments of the New Testament Church. And we are here today around one of them. Well, we read, as is our practice, in Galatians chapter 5, where particularly perhaps that last point I touched on comes out. Galatians chapter 5, reading at verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." May the Lord follow with his blessing that reading of his word. Well, friends, we can do nothing without a warrant from the Church of Christ. Nothing without authority. And so we will read a warrant for the dispensing of the sacrament. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took a cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death. But whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, and so on." We notice in the passage there that the Lord, in taking bread, gave thanks. We will follow that example. Eternal and ever blessed Lord, we have cause for thankfulness. Yet we are conscious that our hearts are very cold as far as thankfulness is concerned. Oh, do thou draw near to us, and so that like the healed leper we will come, giving praise and honour to God. Know that we will come today with an awareness of how much we owe to the one to whom we owe everything. O Lord our God, we praise thy name for that plan of redemption and for its perfect fulfillment. We have cause for thankfulness that the Son was not spared and that he would go down into that place of judgment where the guilt of his people would become his, and where the damnation that sin demanded as its wage would become his, that he would stand in the place of his people. And he has left for his church this reminder, lest they forget and forget the Lord. And in these simple elements, there is a great, profound truth. Help us, O Lord, today to grasp something of that, so that we will partake with hearts full of faith, hearts that in glad assurance are reaching out afresh and resting anew on the finished work of Christ as the sole ground of their hope. For what else is there? To whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Bless the elements we pray, as they are set apart from common to holy use. And we know that there is no change in the elements. It is bread, and it will be forever bread, and wine, and it shall be forever wine, but they are not bare and empty symbols either. For they speak to thy church of the one who loved them, and who gave himself for them. And draw near to us, O Lord, and save us from all distractions. Still us as we come. Meet us in peace and grace. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we read there in Joshua 24 about the Lord calling and separating and redeeming his people. But then Joshua goes on in the later part of the chapter to remind them that the Lord provided for them. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. They were recipients of great blessing, and they owed none of that to their own efforts, to their own ingenuity. The emphasis in the verse is that it was all from the Lord. And that's the emphasis I want to place before you as we come to the table, that it is all of the Lord. He speaks there of the land that they were dwelling in. He brought them into that land, and it was not their own sword that secured it, but the sword of the Lord. And he brought you into a land. He brought you into his own land, into his own spiritual kingdom. You didn't labor for it. In fact, you labored against it. You belonged to another kingdom and to another king. But he became your king. And this became your inheritance and your possession. He gave you a land. He made you a possessor. And then Joshua speaks of the cities they had in which they would live and work. And amongst them were the cities of refuge, of course. Christian, he has given you a place in which to live, a place to a refuge, a city of refuge, Christ himself. Cities in the Bible often remind us, are often used as a picture of the church, aren't they? Well, he has brought you into the citizenship of this city and into the company of the people of God, citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem. He has given you a land. He has given you cities. And yes, says Joshua, vineyards and olive yards that you didn't plant, but you enjoy all that grows there. And the Christian has that as they feed on Christ. You come to the table and we trust you will find refreshment. We trust that you will find satisfaction in the vineyards of the gospel, in the olive yards of Christ and him crucified. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts indeed makes a feast of fat things, of wines and lees well refined. He has given you all of that and more besides. And it is the doing of the Lord. What a wonder that you, who were once aliens separated from all of that, have been brought in and brought to share in that inheritance and all of it, is the doing and the grace. All you have. It's a land you didn't have to find for yourself. It's cities you didn't have to build. It's vineyards and olive yards you didn't plant. You wouldn't know how to begin. But yet they grow and you grow in them. For those that within the house of God are planted by his grace, they shall grow up and flourish up in our God's holiness. Why? To show that the Lord is good, a God of grace and loving kindness. Well, friends, may you find in the olive yards and the vineyards of the sacrament blessing as we come to the work. Well, we read that Paul reminds us that he received of the Lord that which also he delivers to us, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, as we have already endeavored to do, he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death to be come." Well, we read in Joshua 24 of Joshua marking out for us some of the distinctives of the people of God. And then we saw him speak of the kindness of the Lord toward that people. Then one thing remains for him, and that is to challenge them. He does that in a very personal way. We read in Joshua 24:15, having reminded them of the gods that their fathers served on the other side of the river, "If it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." But here's his conclusion. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Many years ago, in the city of London, there was a very wealthy man who lived in a very fine house. And in that house there were many great treasures and fine pieces of art. And he had many visitors, and they would admire this piece and that piece. But sometimes his visitors would ask him what was the most precious piece of art, what was the most important in all of his collection. And he would take them, to their surprise, past all of the art on the wall and all these beautiful pieces. And he would lead them to his front door and to the porch there. And he would point there to a very ordinary plaque in the entrance hall that contained the words that we just read of Joshua. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You see, he was a Christian man. The most important thing for him wasn't the priceless ark, but that he was the Lord's and the Lord was his. And he wanted a servant. Is that how it is for you? Do you rise from the table with that as your great motto, if we can put it like that, with that as your great priority? That plaque was the first thing people saw when they entered that house, if they had eyes to see it. There in the entrance hall it was, before they saw a single piece of fine art. Is that the first thing people see when they look at us? Is that in the entrance hall of our lives? "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Is it obvious that you love and serve the Lord? Well, friend, you rise from the table today, and you go back into a hostile world that neither loves nor serves the Lord. And are you rising and are you saying, like Joshua, "You choose whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? But I wonder, friend, if the plaque has fallen down the way some of these plaques sometimes do. Maybe we need to leave the table, having resolved to put the plaque back up again in the entrance hall of our lives. If it's no longer there for all to see, we put it back up. Has it grown so dusty that the writing can't be seen anymore? You rise from the table and you dust it down so that it will be clear and visible. Now I am conscious that this verse
may well be a source of sorrow for me. Because as you look at aspects of your own household, you say, well, it's not through yet that I and my house in totality serve the Lord. And while the verse has a measure of comfort, of course it does, it also brings a wound, because you know that within the house there are those who do not serve. And maybe you say, the verse isn't for me. Oh well, friend, I'll say this much. You continue on and you look to the Lord. And you may yet find that fulfilled in a greater and a deeper sense than you do at the moment. For he is able to do for you abundantly above what we can ask or think. If he brought you into the land and into the city of the gospel and into the vineyards of his grace, this is our shopping that it can save. So we find fresh encouragement in it all. But you hear, and maybe you can't say it at all, you're here today, you're beyond the table, and you know not how it is for you, that you do not love and serve the Lord. Well, I leave the verse with you as well, and its challenge. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But listen to the voice of the people of God as they say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We rise from the table with his praise on our lips, his grace and trust in our hearts, singing in Psalm 103, verse 1 to 4, O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be